Let's take our Bibles this morning to the book of 2 Peter. We're picking up where we left off in chapter 1 as we go through the Word of God. In our church, we try to make much of the Bible because that's the truth of God. It's what the Bible commands us to read, to study, to preach, and to hear. And it's what will make a difference in our lives. And as we go through the Word of God, the verse that's on our plate for this morning to feed on His truth has to do with the Bible itself. And we'll be speaking more about it tonight. But I want to start reading in verse 19, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. And we'll read the last three verses of this chapter. And tonight we'll have to finish what's in the last two verses. There's much there. But this morning, let's begin reading in verse 19. The Bible says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." God will bless the reading of His Word. Let's pray together. Would you ask the Lord to speak to your heart through this His Word? Father, we're thankful that we have a copy of the Bible. We're thankful that we have a Savior that has open arms for all those who will repent and by faith come to Him. We pray, Lord, that You would do Your great work in us today. We pray the Spirit of God would be ministered. We pray, Lord, that You would build people up upon their most holy faith. We ask God for those sins that remain in the lives of people today, that they would see those and repent of them and despise them and receive the rebuke of God today, that we may have the lives that You have died, that we might be able to live. We pray, God, that You would just please speak to us and help us to take this time seriously and give us exactly what we need from Your truth. And we'll thank You and praise You for all You do in our service. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Now the Bible says in verse 19, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." So I'm preaching on the sure word this morning, and the Bible says about that sure word, the first thing He says in verse 19 is, we have also a more sure word. You see, why is that important? Because it's present tense. It means that it was not that in time past there had been a sure word, but the truth is right now for the present, in my hands, in your hands, we have a more sure word of prophecy. It didn't say that God gave it a long time ago. It says, no, that right now you have it. And that's so important, because if God had a truth that was infallible and perfect and a sure anchor for your soul, and He had it in time past, but you couldn't get a hold of it, then what help would that bring in your life? But you have a copy of the sure word of prophecy. You have a copy of the sure word of God in your hand. You know, the sad truth about that is, all around the world, they don't have that privilege. You know, I'm sure that the Lord doesn't look too fondly upon society and a culture that has a perfect, pure word of God in their hands, and yet they won't read it, and they won't listen to it, and they won't hear it preached, and they won't love it, and they won't put it in their line, when there are societies and tribes and multitudes and nations and cities all around this world that don't have in their hand a copy of this truth. It's in our world, but many people don't have it. I'd say this morning, if you have the Word of God, you ought to thank God for it, and you ought to love it. And you ought to appreciate what God has given to you, a present possession. God's Word in a book. God's Word in one cover. Not just a message of salvation. That can be preached everywhere. But the very sure word of prophecy, word for word. The Bible says all Scripture. Now look at that. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Notice the context of the tense of the verbs. It's so important because we have a a generation of people today and of the liberal professors. That 2 Timothy chapter 3, of liberal professors that tell us that the Word of God was perfect, but the copy that you have today is not so much. And that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says we have. It was given, or it used to be, but we have a more sure word of prophecy. Notice 2 Timothy chapter 3, the very verse about the inspiration of the Scripture. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture, what's the next word? Is, not was. You say, preacher, well, you know, some of this Bible was written thousands of years ago. How do I know that what I have is sure? How do I know that what I have is perfect? How do I know that what I have is really what God said? Because God promised in His Word that all Scripture is. All Scripture not was, but all Scripture is what you have, a sure Word in your hand. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And what's the next word again? Is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. If the Word of God is not all together, if it's not all perfect, if it's not all inspired, if it's not all just like God said it would be, then it cannot profit me. But if I have a completed, sure Word of God, then it can work on me. It can give me what I need. It can furnish me. It can reprove me. And you know, there's a lot of people say, well, okay, we'll take the Bible, you know, in the past, but what it says today, we don't want to listen to that. Well, the truth is, what it was in the past, it's still today. That is just a promise of God. Look at Psalm chapter 12. Here in this church, we have and we continue to believe that the King James Bible is the inspired, preserved Word of God in the English language. Amen. That we have every Word of God for our lives. And that's why the false liberal Bibles in false liberal churches change the Bible and don't make much of the authority of God's Word and don't have the Bible as we have today, because they want to say, well, truth just changes, you know. So if we want to change it in 2017, we'll just rewrite it. The Bible tells us in Psalm chapter 12, he says in Psalm chapter 12 and verse 6, great verses on the preservation of the Bible. It would be one thing if God made a perfect Bible, but if he couldn't keep it for you, it wouldn't help you. We have, present tense, Psalm 12, 6, the words of the Lord. What's the next word? Are, not was, or were. The words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Look at verse 7. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. So God has pure words. He's inspired them. They're sure words. They're words from His mouth. They're words by His Spirit. And He not only gave those in His power that way, but He promised to preserve those and to keep those intact, just like He gave them to every generation. So every generation has somewhere on the earth a copy of the pure Word of God, because God promises to preserve it. Somebody asked some time ago, and it's an easy answer. You say, preacher, how do you know the King James Bible is the preserved Word of God in the English language? And this is the simple answer you can give, because it has all the words in it. You know, I've taught for years on the King James Bible. I've even taught it overseas, because the basis for even other Bible translation, we might get into even tonight, must be based on the proper words of the Bible. And the truth is, we could take hours to go through all the words and show you the tens of thousands of words that are taken out of God's truth by all the new Bibles. And it's just an attempt of the devil to take away the food for God's people and to take away the promises of God for God's people and to give them something else. Give them, you know, fast food. You know, I tell you what, fast food may taste good, but you can't live on it very well. Amen. You live on fast food, you're going to be bloated. I had to do some of that last week. I was out of town and the meeting of preaching, the missions conference there, and just a lot, it was real busy. And so I didn't get to eat much. And then after church, you know, we were running this late and just fast food every night. And I tell you what it does, it just bloats you. Not healthy. Oh, it tastes good. You put all that salt on it, you know. I mean, you can put enough salt in something, you know, to get it down, brother. If you fry stuff enough, you get shoe leather. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you can make things palatable. That means good for you. You know what all these new versions of the Bible are? They're an attempt of the devil to make things palatable for people, but not give them the nutrition they need from the words of God. The Bible says the words of the Lord are pure words. There's something that we have that surety for our soul. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Then we got people say, well, the message is, God's message is always true. No, the Bible promises to preserve words. The Bible promises that heaven and earth will pass away, but the words won't pass away. And if you monkey with the words, you'll monkey with the message. And God said, leave my words alone. The Bible said, add not unto his words, lest thou be reproved and be found to be a liar. He said, if you add to this book, you take away from this book, God will add to you the plagues in a book. And take away your part, he says. And so, God takes it very seriously, the preservation of his word. In 1 Peter, we looked at this, and when we're in 1 Peter, look there please with me. 1 Peter chapter 1. As Peter tries to emphasize the importance and power and surety of the Word of God. You have it. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23, being born again. 1 Peter 1, 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Do you see that? This is the word. It is, again, present tense. If the Bible is just an old past book, it's not going to help you. But the Bible promises to be in your hand. We have a more sure word of prophecy. The truth is, though, you know, I saw a billboard or somebody say one day, said, if God wrote you a personal letter and mailed it to you, would you read it? And put your name on it. And, well, sure, I'd read that. Well, the truth is, he has. Amen. And he's done more than put it in your mailbox. He's put it in your hand. But a lot of people don't see the people. They don't understand. People died so you could have a copy of this in your hand. I never forget passing out Bibles in Eastern Europe, you know. They didn't have a Bible. They'd take those Bibles and they'd kiss them and hug them. Never had a Bible before. The Bible was in the world, but they never had one. They didn't have one presently in their hands. Never forget, we had that big meeting in Romania and had 900 people show up, and we preached the gospel to them. We promised to give a Bible to anybody that come hear the preaching of the Word of God. And we gave 900 people a Bible, and there was an Orthodox nun sitting over to my left over here. I thought she was going to cause trouble. I said, y'all be ready to go kick that woman out of church. Because the Orthodox Church hated what they were doing. They despised and did everything they could to try to destroy the gospel. I said, what's that woman? And that woman didn't cause any trouble. She just sat there. She just quietly sat there and went through all the preaching. She had two messages. And at the end of the service, she wrote on the back of a card as she got her Bible. She said, thank you so very much for a copy of the Bible. I work for the church, but they won't give me a Bible. I was able to hear a testimony of a missionary's wife in Colombia this past week, and she got up and testified how she was raised in Colombia in a Roman Catholic family. And, boy, that brings another illustration. I'll never forget. Boy, I tell you what, my interruptions are getting interrupted. Because there's just so many stories about that. That there was a Romanian guy that came. I gave him a copy of the Bible. He never had a Bible. And he was so excited to start reading the Bible. And he went to the priest and he said, look what I've been reading in the Bible. And the priest took the Bible away from him and said, you don't need that. You just need to listen to what I tell you. That's the way this world is and the religions of this world. They don't want you to know that I have something from God in my hand. If you have something from God in your hand, you have so much more. What else is somebody going to add to your life more than what God put in that book? Anyway, that Columbia lady, Roman Catholic, 11 years old, she said, her mother got sick, got cancer, and she prayed and prayed, prayed to Mary, prayed to all the saints, please heal my mom. Nothing. She went to the priest and said, what do I need to do for God to hear my prayer? I'll do anything. He told her to join the convent, become a nun, give up all her life. She said, okay. That's pretty serious, isn't it? So she got in there and she started praying and she said, okay, I'll be a nun. And her mother was healed. So she said, okay, I'm going to go through with this. I'll be a nun for the rest of my life. They told them that every hour of the day, they had to spend so much time doing something spiritual. It could be saying the rosary or praying or reading Catholic books. She got a hold of a Bible in her hand. And she started reading that Bible. And she came into Matthew, chapter 6 or chapter 5, where it says, use not vain repetitions. And that's all they were doing in the convent, you know. And she went to the Mother Superior and said, you know, I've been reading this Bible. We're doing what this Bible tells us we shouldn't do. And they got mad at her and told her to go back, you know. And she kept reading her Bible and got over there where it says, Jesus said, call no man your father. She went back to Mother Superior and she said, why are we doing things that the Bible tells us not to do? You know what they did? They kicked her out. And then she met an American that gave her a gospel tract that had the Word of God in it. And she read it not once, she read it not twice, she read it three times. And for the first time, she understood the gospel of the grace of God and she got saved. You know what made the difference in that girl's life growing up in Colombia? It was somehow in her hand. She got to read something that God said. And it overshadowed every other attack of the devil and power of the devil and religion in her life. And she read and saw, and that woman just cried. She was so thankful because you know what? She knew what it was like to live and to be born in a society where she didn't have a Bible. She didn't know any better. Oh, we in America are so blessed. And I tell you what, the Bible said, to whom much is given, much is required. We have in our hands a copy of the Word of God. What are we going to do with it? In 2 Peter, I see a second thing. He said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, he said, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. So, number one, we presently have God's Word in the Bible. Number two, the Bible is surely God's Word more than any other thing could be God's Word. Now, you remember the context from last Sunday. Peter says, we were on the mountain and heard God the Father speak audibly. We heard God's audible voice saying, this is my beloved Son, hear ye Him. We heard God in the mount. God the Father talking to Jesus. We heard Him. Peter said, we have a more sure word of prophecy in the Scripture, in the written Word of God, than if you could hear God speak to you. That's why the charismatics are so messed up. Because listen, the truth is, what you have in your hand as a copy of the Word of written Word of God is more important if you could hear God speak to you. What Peter said. It is more important. It is more accurate. It is more necessary. Why? Because you can go back and look at it again. If you just heard the Word of God, if you heard God speak to you, how would you know it was Him? If you heard God speak to you audibly, you might forget it. You might get some of the words mixed up. Your memory may fail you. But God said, I put in your hand a more sure word than any emotional experience that you might have or any vision you could have or any word you could hear. The Bible, the written word of God, is more sure. It's more sure of what you need in your life than anything you can get a hold of. He said about sure things in verse 10. We preached on that when we were there. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. God is a sure God. Jesus is a sure Savior. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Jesus is surely the Savior. His blood surely will pay all the debt. We have a sure Savior. If you're saved this morning and born again, you have a sure salvation. Your new birth is rooted in the assurance that God keeps His word and He cannot lie. We have a sure salvation, a sure Savior, and we have a sure Bible. But now, what does the devil do? The devil works overtime to bring doubt to what God said. Genesis chapter 3. You know what's sad? That some people would rather believe a lie than believe the truth. And that's what's going to happen with this society that's fastly going toward an antichrist. They'll believe his lie, but they won't believe the truth of God. I mean, it's in black and white. Can't you believe it? Our society says, you know, all truth is relative. There are no absolutes. No, God says there is an absolute. You've got something more sure than science could ever give you. Science says, oh, that Bible can't be true because look at the carbon dating and look at all this other stuff. Look at the fossil record. You know how God messes man's mind up so easy? He did one event. It's called a worldwide flood and messed all of science up for all the rest of human history. In other words, he put layers of stuff on top of layers of stuff with a worldwide flood, and the scientists will go down there and they'll carbon date and say, wow, this thing is, you know, a million years old. No, God just dumped a million years worth of dirt on it during the flood. You see how? You know, when God created the world, too, He created the world with age. He didn't create Adam to be a baby. I mean, I can see the scientist walking up to Adam when he's just created. He's not 5 minutes old. And the scientist looks at Adam. He measures his head. He looks at him. He talks to him. He looks at his bones and says, man, you're about 30 years old. I can measure you. Bones don't grow that fast. Well, they do if God makes them that way. You see how that? The Bible says, the science says the Bible can't be true. Sure can be true. I mean, He made all those trees in the garden. He didn't make them little saplings. He made them full-grown trees when they were. He made the animals full-grown when he created them. God created the world with age. Well, I just believe in science. Well, then you're a fool because science changes as just as quickly as the wind does. You know, science used to say the world was flat. That's a good place to put your faith. That's right. And the Bible always said it was a circle. Thousands of years ago. Well, how do we know that? Because God made it, so He put it in there so you'd know it. Well, science said it was flat. Well, they're wrong. Science. Man, science will study things and they'll come back and they'll have to change it. What a terrible place to put your faith in science. Amen. But science is used by the devil to say, well, that Bible can't be true. There are no absolutes. There's no final authority. Oh, there is a final authority, whether you accept it or not. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. It's sure. It's just as sure as God. But here's the devil, Genesis chapter 3. You know the story, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, what did he say to her? Yea, hath God said. Did God really say that? You know, if the devil can't come to you and get you to say, I don't care what God says, he'll make you doubt that God even said it. Now, there are some people who don't care what God said. They will one day when they stand before Him, but there's a lot of people who don't care what God said. There are some people that just doubt what he says. Well, how do I know that's true? How do I know that this is wrong? Well, if he wrote it right there, that means it's wrong. You know, the only way we know anything's wrong is if God said it was wrong.
Amen.
How does mankind know that it's wrong to steal? Why is it wrong to steal? I know some people don't believe it's wrong to steal. I know some people don't believe it's wrong to fornicate. I know some people don't believe it's wrong to get drunk. I know some people don't believe it's wrong to curse or listen to cursing. How do we know what's right's wrong? Because God wrote it in a book so you could surely know what is right, what is wrong. And the devil comes to you and says, well, is it really wrong if? Is it wrong if I'm really in love? Or is it wrong if I really want to do it? Or if I think it's good for me? No. The devil says to Eve, yea, hath God said. Did God say it? I'm asking you, Eve. Why don't you make up your mind? Why don't you sit in judgment on God and tell me whether you think God said it or not? That's the world we live in. No absolutes, no final authority, no right and wrong, no truth and error, no sin, no righteousness, just whatever you think. What do you think? No matter what you think, woman. Doesn't matter what you think, Eve. It doesn't matter what you think, sir. It doesn't matter what you think. It's what did God say? The devil says, but did God really say that? How do you know he said that? He told Adam. How do you know he didn't tell you? Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. So Satan brings doubt upon the word of God, and now Eve adds to the word of God. God never told him not to touch it. You know, if I was the devil, I'm not saying this happened. If I was the devil, you know what I'd done at that point? I'd have tossed the fruit to her and let her catch it. And said, see there, you didn't die. You touched it. Because she thought God said, if I touch it, I'm going to. That's not what God said. And then the Bible said in verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. You see, the first path to denying the word of God and denying the truth of God and being a pervert in the eyes of God and a twister of what is right and what is decent and what is moral and what God has set up in his order. The first step is questioning the Bible, and then pretty soon they'll outright deny the Bible. The devil said, did God really say that? And then he says, no, you're not going to die. My opinion, your opinion is just as good as what God said. Popular opinion, it's just as good. Doesn't matter. Jesus said, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil said, no, you don't need to listen to every word. Just do what you want to. Believe what you want to believe. Don't submit yourself to the words of the Bible. Live like you want to live. There'll be no consequences to it. But the Word of God still rules the world. And the Word of God is still over man. And because Eve would not accept the sure Word of God, she accepted a lie. And all of human history, we have been suffering and in pain, and babies have died, and people, their bodies have been filled with disease, and there's been hurt and violence and a world full of heartache. Why? Has it been God's fault? No. It was the fault of somebody that said, I don't believe what God said. I think I know just as good. The Bible is surely God's word. You say, how do you know that? Because he says, we also have a more sure word of prophecy. You know, the Bible is sure and right because of all the prophecies that are in it. You couldn't make all that up. 1,000 years before Jesus was crucified, the Bible tells us he'd be crucified and even told us the words he'd say. 1,000 years beforehand. They didn't even have crucifixion in David's day. 750 years before Jesus was born, the Bible prophesied he would be born in Bethlehem. 750 years. If you took up all of the prophecies of Jesus just about his first coming, there was more chance
that Santa Claus would fall from Jupiter into this room, land in your lap, and give you $400 million. It's like 230 million to one or something. You would never play those odds against God. Just by the prophecy. God says, I know how things are going to end up. You know what? God knows how things are going to end up in your life too. And they can end up for good if you'll do His will, and they can end up for evil if they don't. The Bible says we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Would you go back to our text? The next thing He says in the text, whereunto ye do well, watch this now, whereunto ye do well that ye what? Take heed. In other words, praise God. Praise God, I've got a Bible. Praise God, I'm sure I've got the truth. Hallelujah. Well, you know what? That doesn't help you if you don't take heed to it. If you don't listen to it. What did the psalmist say? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, not in my hand, but in my heart, that I might not sin against God. The Bible can't help you. The Bible that is all true, the only thing in the universe that is without fail and without error and perfectly pure, it cannot help you if you don't listen to it, if you don't take heed to it, if you don't read it, if you don't hear it, and if you don't live it, you will be overcome by the darkness. That's what verse 19's testimony say. Because you're in a dark place. And that Word of God is a light that shineth in a dark place. And darkness will overcome your life. And darkness will overcome my life if I don't take heed according to the Word of God, if I don't listen. Do you know why people ruin their lives? Because they take that right there and they put it on the shelf and say, I don't need it. And they take their little self and they remove themselves from the preaching of it. And they take their selves and they say, well, I know what that says, but I'm going to live my life the way I want to live it anyway. If you don't take heed to it, it's not going to help you. And darkness will... You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, take heed that the light that is in you. Take heed about the light that is in you, that it doesn't become darkness. I can have it in my hand, but if I don't take heed to it, the darkness will rule my life. I've got to digest it. I've got to take it in. Jesus said, take heed what you hear. Who are you listening to? You listen to God. Jesus said, take heed what you hear. And then later He said, take heed how you hear. Are you attentive? Are you listening? Is your heart open? Take heed what you hear. Take heed how you hear. And the Bible tells us in James chapter 1, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. The worst deception in the world is self-deception. I heard what was right. I didn't do anything about it. I didn't take heed to it. I didn't receive the warning. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed to thyself and unto the doctrine. Take heed to yourself. What does the Word of God say about me, say about my heart? The Bible tells us that we're not to give heed to fables, 1 Timothy 1:4. Not to give heed to seducing spirits, 1 Timothy 4:1. Don't listen to the devil. Listen, everybody is, there are so many voices in the world. The devil speak. The seducing spirits speak. Your neighbors speak. Your friends speak. The world speaks. The media speaks. The television speaks. Everything speaks in the world. And the Bible says, who are you listening to? Take heed that you don't listen to seducing spirits or doctrines of devils. Take heed that you don't listen to fables or endless genealogy or cunningly devised fables, as 2 Peter says. Take heed that you listen to what God said to you. What did He say to you? You look at that book of Revelation and over what He said to the church, not the lost people of the church. He said, repent. Humble yourself. Come before God and repent.
Take heed. Listen. The Bible can only help you if you take heed to it. I never forget, I sat down with a deacon in a church one day. And I opened my Bible up to 1 Timothy. And I read him a verse of Scripture that was against his life. You know what he said to me? This was years and years and years ago. He looked at that verse in the Bible and he looked straight at me. And this independent Baptist deacon said, I don't care what that says. Now you say, what an awful thing. You don't have to say that to believe that. God and the world can tell if you don't care what that says by the way you live your life. What an amazing treasure of a perfect, pure Word of God that I have. Won't help me a bit if I don't take heed to it. One more thing, I'm finished. He says in 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Oh, preacher, it's such a dark world. Yes, it is. Getting darker every day. But Jesus warned us of that. He says, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. He said, but I'm going away. And he says, guess what, guys? You need to be the light of the world. The light of the world is Jesus. The light of the world is the church of the living God. And yet also the light of the world is the Word of God. He says, take heed unto the Word of God that shines as a light in a dark place. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you don't shine the Word of God in your life, in your path of your life, you're going to fall in a ditch. It doesn't have to be a big ditch. Have you ever turned your ankle on just a little? You know, maybe that's up in Virginia, it was groundhogs, you know, they dig, you know, they just a little hole. Son, you can break your leg in a little hole. Especially if you're walking in the darkness and the unevenness of that earth or just a little hole in the ground that you didn't see. And the Bible says you need to take heed because this is a light that's shining in a dark place. Church, this is a dark time. You and I need the Word of God more than ever. It's your flashlight. Don't be a blind person walking in the darkness and fall in a ditch. Take this book. Read this book. Heed this book. Live this book. Love this book. Because it's the only thing that's going to shine a light in your darkness. But some people don't like the light. They want to. That's why so much sin is done in the dark. The darkness is where the bugs are at. Pick up that rock, no sunshine is shown under it. Whew, there goes the bugs. I never forget in the Philippines, man. I tell you what. If you don't like bugs, don't go to the Philippines. There are bugs you can ride in the Philippines. I should have known the first night I slept there and the bugs started running across my face when I was sleeping. I put covers, everything over my head. I just left them. Well, I got up in the night and had to go to the restroom. That was bad. I got up in the night in the restroom. I had to go through the kitchen. So I walked through the kitchen. And I turned the light on and it was like a zoo. You know why? Bugs like the dark. You can always tell where the bugs are because they just can't sit under the light. I can tell when I've got darkness in my heart because I can't give time to the Scripture. Don't love the darkness. Love the light. Come to the light. Sure, it will reprove your deeds, but that's the best thing in the world for you. It's a light in the dark of the night and the bright of the light. Whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Watch it, I'm finished, until the day dawn. Amen. One day the day's going to dawn. You know that's the little phrase the Bible talks about when Jesus rose from the dead. It says, as it was beginning to dawn in the day, Amen. The stone was rolled away. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, coming up from the dead, showing Himself as victorious. The day dawned, and sin was defeated, and the devil was defeated, and hell was destroyed. Why? Because the day dawned, the light came forth. And one of these days, the light's going to come forth. The light's going to come back to this world. The day dawned, and the day star is going to arise. He's going to get up off that throne, and the Son, S-U-N, the Son, S-U-N, and S-O-N of God, is going to arise with healing in His wings. He's going to come again, Malachi chapter 4, verse 1. And the light's going to happen to this world. He says, you better follow the path of this book that I've given you until that day star rise and that day dawn. It rises, not only rises in heaven to come here, but it rises in your hearts and it'll rise you off this earth as you're called up together to be with Him. Let the light guide you till you see the sun. Amen. Let the light control your life till you see Jesus and the day star arises. It rises in your heart. If Christ is in you, that life that's in you, it ought to rise in your heart. The day star. What does Revelation tell us about Jesus? He says, I, Jesus. He's that Alpha and Omega. You know what else He says in Revelation chapter 22? He said in 22:16, I am the bright and morning star. What is a day star? It's a star that shines in the day. Well, you say, man, I go out in the daytime and I can't see the stars. That's because there's a star that's bigger than all the rest of the stars. Amen. It's called the bright and morning star. The sun, the S-U-N, is a star. The S-O-N is a star. We have light in our world when we go outside because the day star is up in the sky and it's shining light on our world. And that's my Jesus. And that's His truth. And I ought to let it shine in me. Peter said, when I saw Him, His face shone as the sun. And I'm telling you, He's the star that brightly shines. He's the star that will lead you away from your darkness. The day star. You know what's wicked? Do you know the new Bible, new version of the English Bible that's so popular all around the world? The ESV. Do you know in Isaiah 14:12 it calls Lucifer the day star? It calls Lucifer Jesus. That's the new Bible that all the modern churches love. It calls the bright and morning star, the day star of the Lord Jesus Christ. It calls Him Lucifer. That's just a picture of how this world wants to take the Word of God away from you and deceive you and point you another direction instead of you following the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer.